I will ask you to stand as you are able. It's difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 54th verse. The word of the Most Holy God says this: He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their own country and in their own house." And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. One of the things that we tend to forget as we talk about Jesus, because we talk about Jesus healing people, and we talk about walking on water, and we talk about all the wonderful and miraculous things that Jesus did. But folks, we also must understand that while Jesus was fully God, he was also fully human. He set aside the powers of eternity and was born. Jesus was potty trained. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to talk. The one who created the forests of the world learned to work with wood and make a table. The one who sang when the world was created learned to talk. He lived for 30 years a very normal kind of life. Well esteemed, of course. And he did something that none of us have managed. He managed to make it through all of that without sin. But still, when you looked at him, it's not like the pictures that we have. You know, all the pictures pretty much that you see of Jesus, there's this glow behind his head. Folks, it really wasn't there. The glow behind his head wasn't there. That the Trinity symbol, which to me looks like an inner tube, I'm sorry, it does, that you see on all the icons, it wasn't there. He was a normal-looking, normal-acting guy. So when he came home, after his ministry had begun and he had been teaching the people, and after he had been doing the great works and miracle power things, after he had fed 5,000 with some loaves and fish, and after he had brought sight to the blind and raised the dead and walked on water and done all of these things, Jesus went home to Nazareth. And he went into the synagogue and he began to teach the people. He went in and began to teach them. And they said, "Wait a minute. This is Jesus. He built my coffee table. This is Jesus. You know, he built the box, you know, that we keep our trinkets in. This is Jesus. We watched him grow up. We saw him playing with the other boys out in the field. We saw him as he learned to read. We saw him. How did this ordinary guy get all this wisdom? How did he get all this understanding? How could somebody that was just like everybody else to them, how did he become a teacher to us, and how is it that he can perform deeds of power? Now, I want you to understand something. Get this from the get-go. They did not say what he did was false. They did not say that Jesus did not do deeds of power. They did not say that Jesus was not rightly interpreting Scripture. But what it did say was they took offense at it. They took offense because he was an ordinary guy doing extraordinary things, and he was just a hick from the sticks in the backwater of the world. He could not possibly be the Messiah. Despite the evidence of their own eyes, he could not possibly be the Messiah because we know where he came from. One of the things that's always difficult, particularly not for Jesus, because, I mean, like I say, he grew up without sin, so he had never broken anybody's windows. But isn't it hard to go back home? Particularly if you had that little wild side when you were growing up? Am I right? Because you go back and people expect you to be what they once knew. People expect you to be what they once knew. The people who went to college with me would probably drop dead if somebody told them that I was a preacher. That would not have immediately jumped to mind. Because when I was in college, I went through my rebellious time. I'm sorry that I did, but I did. I went through that rebellious time, and I used language that I'm ashamed of. And while I didn't party, because, like, you can't get into all that much trouble when your curfew is 10 o'clock, but I drank to excess. And I did all the things that, you know, that all those things that I'm ashamed of now, but I did them. And if I were to go back and be with those people, and they said, you know, what are you doing now? They probably wouldn't be shocked if I said that I was teaching at a university. They probably would not be shocked if I said that I was, you know, a manager of a business. But their mouths would hang open if I said, I'm a preacher. And they would have said, what kind of preacher could you be? Folks, I'm not the person that I was then. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit resides on me now. Jesus was an ordinary guy, sinless, yes. Good person, yes. Nothing to atone for. He didn't go back and they say, you know, this was that wild kid. That's not what I'm saying. But he came back after having been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they go, what in the world is this? What is this? And they took offense. Now, why were they offended? Why were they offended? I mean, stop and think about it. It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He was teaching. He was preaching. What he was doing was good. What he was doing was right. What he was doing was accurate. Why were they offended by that? They were. That's because they weren't. Okay, that, yeah. They weren't doing. He was doing things that they did not and could not do. Not just because he was the Son of God. Remember, he was fully human. But he was a fully human human. He was a fully human human with the power of the Holy Spirit working in him. The power of God. Which brings me, which was, you know, like a seriously long introduction to my little short sermon. They were amazed at him because of what he did, and he was amazed at them for their lack of faith. So what does it mean to have faith? The Lord God created everything out of nothing. Now, just to give you a little capsule of that, it is postulated that there are 40 billion planets close enough to Earth that they also would probably contain carbon-based life forms just like us. They have a sun like ours. They have a size like ours. They appear to have atmosphere like ours. So it's postulated there are 40 billion habitable planets just in our galaxy. In the universe, there are probably billions of galaxies. And if that doesn't give you enough to think about, let's stretch your mind. If string theory is correct, there may be as many as 12 dimensions. Now, where are we in all of that? Well, I'm glad you ask. We are the only planet that we know of that messed up. Do you realize that all those other habited places might have functioned perfectly? What amazes me is that God didn't just write us off as a bad investment. I mean, think of all that he had left. Think of all that may be out there. And, you know, we're such a tiny little blip. Yet, he loved us so much that out of all of that universe, he set aside heaven, came to earth as a human being, lived among us, taught us, died for us, rose again, and as Robert sang so beautifully, is coming back. I could understand in some ways how it's hard to wrap your mind around that. God is greater than his creation, and we know how humongous creation is. So God gave us something that we could understand. He sent one person to change it all. He sent that one to change it all. And they were upset because that did not fit in their God box. You know what I'm talking about when I say God box? Because you have one. You do. Let's be honest. You have what we're going to call my God box. We have my God box, and we say, God does this, but he doesn't do that. We say, you know, God is this, but he couldn't possibly be that. And then we get so arrogant as to say that we know what God wants, so we're going to make sure that you do what we say. Scary. We do need to discern. Don't get me wrong. We know that not everything is right. And we have very clearly in Scripture some things that are just out and out wrong. But we can't put God in a box and say, this is how God does things. Because a God that created the infinite variety of the universe doesn't follow our rules. Our faith can be so small and so narrow. And it's crazy to say, but sometimes our faith can even be hateful or mean. That's a little whacked, but, you know, it's true. Let's be honest. There are times that we get very arrogant. But, folks, we cannot put God in a box. And that is what is happening when we put faith instead of putting faith in God. Now, do you know what I mean when I say that? Is this where I want yes or no? Do you know what I mean when I'm saying that? Putting faith in faith instead of putting faith in God. If you have faith in faith, then God is like your slot machine. And if you put in X amount of money, and if you put in X amount of time in prayer, and if you put in X amount of time studying Scripture, and if you do this and if you do that, then pull the handle, and then God has to do whatever it is that you're praying for because, you know, you have faith. But you only have faith in faith. Faith in God is, I seek him in prayer just because I want to be with him. Faith in God is, I read his word just because I want to know him. Faith in God is, I pray believing but leave the results to him. Have you ever wondered why we don't see people raised from the dead in America? By the way, they do see it in other places. Do you wonder why we don't see it here? Because we put God in a box. God doesn't do that anymore. Now, I personally would never pray for anybody to be raised from the dead because I wouldn't bring anybody back here for anything. But not if you've got a glimpse of glory. I wouldn't do that to anybody I cared about. But why do we not see the walking on water, blind people jumping up and seeing? Why do we not see that every Sunday in church? You ever wonder about that? We have become so proper. We've become very saintly. We come in, and yes, we expect to hear some good music in this church, and generally we expect, you know, the sermon will probably be okay, and We hope we get to see a lot of people and we enjoy singing. I'm not even saying that we don't worship, because we do. I'm saying that not one of you probably walked into this church today expecting a miracle. Did you? Did you expect a miracle today? If you are suffering, did you expect to walk in today and have the power of the Holy Spirit heal you so that you walked out of here without your illness? Did you expect that? That's not faith in faith. That's faith in God. The God who still heals. The God who still transforms people even like me. The God whose Holy Spirit is still at work. But folks, I like what it said. I almost read the account. This same account in Mark says, not that just he didn't, he said he could not do miraculous deeds among them because of their unbelief. Not that he was incapable, but without the belief, it don't happen. Without the faith in God, not faith in faith, without faith in God, it just don't happen. Now, faith in God, like I say, is praying, believing, expecting the miraculous, but not going, well, I didn't get my miracle, so it must not be true. Because God's still God and still gets to pick. But folks, what have we seen, and why aren't we seeing it every day? There are people in this room that could have an anointing of the Holy Spirit so on them that they could be like the apostles as they walked down the street, and as Peter's shadow fell on people, they jumped up and were healed. You could have that in your life. If that's what God chose to give you. But he can't give it to you if you don't believe it. God is awesome power. Don't limit him. We have to limit him a little bit because our minds cannot contain like God. That's why he came as a human to show us what the Father is like. But don't put him in my little God box. It's really bad when you put him in the God box and only pull him out when you need him, and the rest of the time, if everything's going great, you put him back in the box, shut the lid, and put it in the closet. Be aware of him. One of the reasons I wanted the children to stay is because it is so important right now in your lives to understand that you are the most important thing in the world, in the universe, to God. And he has so much for you, and don't let a human being ever tell you anything different. You can be anything. So seek it now. Start. I would really like for the children, when they're my age, not to have to be able to stand anywhere. Don't mean up here, but anywhere, and say, you know, well, I had these problems. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our children did not repeat our mistakes? Understand, you don't have to. God has so much for you. Take it now. Don't wait. All of us are less than a speck. We're less than an amoeba on a speck. We're less than an atom on an amoeba on a speck. And when you think about the entire universe, And yet, if we were the only one that needed salvation, Jesus would have still come and did what he did. That's how important you are. Have faith in God. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Have faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. And let's live up to the church that God created. Let's be who we are. Let's take authority. Because, folks, even the angels are under our authority. How big is God? Big. How big are we? We want to go infinitesimal, but folks, if God lives in us, we're pretty big too. We're big. Don't suffer needlessly. And don't let others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.